Is from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 1. You can find it on page 68 of the New Testament. So that's Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we do thank you so much that you have given us your written word. And we pray that as we look at it together this morning, so you would give us your Holy Spirit to be our teacher, so that we might learn from that word written a long time ago, how you want to live our lives here where you have placed us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as always, it would be really helpful if you can keep Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 20, open in front of you. Now, if I had to ask you how you would reckon that most people in the world would sort of describe a Christian, you know, what sort of characteristics would they come up with to say what they thought a Christian was? Quite often, you get people who will say something like, "Well, that wasn't very Christian of you." if you've sworn or done something wrong in that way. So they sort of think it's going to be somebody who's morally doing well. And primarily they probably would think it's somebody who is sort of nice and gentle and polite and a bit sort of doormat-ish. So I thought to myself, if the world had to try and define what a Christian was, then they might say that basically Christians were nice mice. Little sort of, you know, furry things and pleasant, but not a threat to anybody, nothing powerful, primarily just nice. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong with being nice, with being kind and considerate and unselfish and all of those things that absolutely commended the characteristics that the Lord Jesus has and displays for us. We absolutely would agree with that. But I thought it would be interesting just to reflect on what does this passage, Luke chapter 10, help us to understand about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Those of you who were able to be here last week will remember that we looked at the end of chapter 9. The lectionary reading runs through. And if you look back to the end of chapter 9, verse 57 onwards, you'll see that disciples choose Jesus above material things of the world. The world is terribly keen on us all having homes. Jesus just said, even I don't have a home. So don't look to be a disciple and absolutely guarantee that you'll get a home. Disciples know deep within themselves that the message about Jesus is the most important thing that other people will hear in their lifetime. And therefore it's essential to get that message out to people while they are still alive. And then disciples put Jesus first. So these are people who are choosing to follow him, understanding that to follow Jesus is to say Jesus is more important than material things. He comes absolutely first. And the message is something which has got to be proclaimed while people are still alive. When you're dead, it's too late. And then we see the beginning of chapter 10. Jesus is sending disciples out. The 70 are going on, going ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. And if you look on to verse 9, the end of verse 9, you'll see that whatever they do, end of verse 8, whenever you go enter a town, its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And then even if people reject, if you look to the end of verse 11, even the dust of that town that clings to your feet, wipe it off, yet know this, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. So I would want to say that a much better description of what being a Christian is not to be a nice mouse, but to recognize that as Christians, we are kingdom carriers. These disciples are going out in Jesus' name, and they are doing things in Jesus' name, and people who are receiving them and receiving the blessings that they bring, they hear the news, the kingdom of God has come near. And the same truth comes, the people of God, the disciples come, and they speak about Jesus, and the town says, no, we don't want any of it. They still hear the same message. The kingdom of God has come near. So, why? Because they are proclaiming, these 70, that Jesus, the King, is about to come. That is what they are proclaiming. That the kingdom is coming near because the King is coming. And so we, today, going as disciples of the Lord Jesus, are similarly kingdom carriers because we bring the message of the kingdom. And I just want to take a moment to reflect on your place of work. We've already had Alcina in her testimony this morning speaking about her place of work. We've had Debbie speaking of her school and her interaction with members of staff in the school. Just reflect on your place of work and think you as the Christian are a kingdom carrier into that place of work, or into your network group, whatever it is, the club that you're part of, if you're part of a sports group or a drama group or a book club or whatever else it might be, or just a regular group of mates who meet up in the pub or wherever. Do you see yourself as the Christian person? You are kingdom carriers going into that situation. You are a kingdom carrier into that group. And therefore it raises the question, what does this passage, Luke chapter 10, teach us about our experience as kingdom carriers? What is this passage telling us that our experience is going to be like? Well, let's look at chapter 10 and verse 3. Jesus says, "Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves." A lamb going into the midst of wolves? The wolves want to eat you. That's what wolves do with lambs. So, insofar as this is not just specific to those 70 going directly ahead of the Lord Jesus as he was on his journey towards Jerusalem, but it is general for all Christians going out into the world that largely rejects Jesus, there will be a sense of being exposed and vulnerable. It will be frightening, it will be risky, it will be threatening. You will be like a lamb in the midst of wolves. And so it is not surprising that we should feel scared in that situation. It is not surprising that we should feel threatened, that it should be, we would feel vulnerable. Those are things which are completely go with the territory. They are unsurprising. So we need just to recognize that that's how we will feel and go anyway, because that is what Jesus had told them to do. But if you look at verse 4, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, greet no one on the road. It's speaking of an utter dependence on Jesus to be with you, to provide for you. In other words, you know, in modern parlance, it would be that you don't have a credit card in your back pocket so that you can pay to stay the night in a motel. You're going without human resources. Now, we can't swap it directly over, because there are other places where we are told, disciples are told to have provision. But the concept of the idea of we're not to be carrying masses of resources of our own so that we are completely independent of the people that we are engaging with is actually that we are to be dependent on Jesus. And the concept of greeting no one on the road, that I am told by the commentaries and things, that to ignore people on the road was a very un-Jewish thing to do. They were really, it would be very rude indeed not to greet people. And you would only do that if you were really busy. Now, obviously in a London context, that's not at all how we live. We ignore people in the road. But in the in that context, it really would have been very, very difficult. And so to say that we are to greet no one on the road is just saying that we need to be focused on the task in hand. It's focused onto the Lord Jesus. And the kingdom carrier is bringing the message that the king is coming. That's what verse 1 is all about. And so we then get to the idea that what's happening in verse 4, whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And that's the message that, of course, Jesus is bringing, that the Creator God, who has made everything and everyone, we have, human beings have all sort of pushed him away. We've rebelled against him. And the result is that we are enemies of God rather than at peace with God. He is distanced from us because of the way that we have sinned against him. And what is being offered by these kingdom carriers going in Jesus' name is to say peace to this house. And we who know the whole gospel understand that what is happening is that it's that we are no longer separated from God because of our sin. Jesus has come to be our Saviour. The whole message of the cross is that sins can be forgiven right the way through the Gospels, right the way through the Acts of the Apostles, right the way through the New Testament, really. The whole message of the Gospel is that sin is forgiven in Christ's name. It's not ignored. It's not. We don't have to pretend that we're not sinful. It is that it is forgiven in Jesus' name. And when our sin is forgiven and removed from us, washed away, as we would say, through the blood of Christ, in other words, by trusting in his death and resurrection, then we have peace with God. Hence that we're able, these kingdom carriers are able to say, peace to this house. They didn't know the full gospel, because here they are at a point before Jesus has died on the cross. But they do know that Jesus is Messiah. Peter has already recognized that by revelation. And if you look back to chapter 9 and verse 20, you'll see there is Peter's declaration that Jesus is Messiah. And they do have some understanding of the crucifixion, because twice already Jesus has said that he is going to go to Jerusalem, where he's going to be handed over and betrayed and killed and die and will rise again. If you look at chapter 9 of verses 21 and 22, chapter 9 of verse 44, you see that. So some message of the fact of the gospel, as we would understand it, is part of the message of the 70. Of course, for us, living where we do, on the far side, not just of Jesus' death and resurrection, but ascension and then Pentecost, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we have a more complete gospel to bring and a greater understanding of how it is that people can be at peace with God. And therefore we see that this message that the kingdom carriers, the message that the Christian brings, the disciple of Jesus brings as he goes out, results in a really important choice that those who are hearing make. They can receive the message and be blessed by it, or they can reject the message. We see both happening in the passage. If you look at chapter 10 and verse 6, if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Or if you turn on to verse 10, but whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. So we're seeing two possible responses to the message. The king is coming. The kingdom is coming. We are embodying the kingdom as we go into every situation, because that's who we are as Christians. We're people who know the king. And not everyone will welcome the news of the kingdom. It's very important to understand that. We sort of know it in our experience, but we need to recognize that the scripture teaches that not everybody is going to receive it. There are going to be people who reject. So therefore, again, just in terms of going into a work context and prayerfully looking for opportunities to be able to speak of our King, to speak of the Lord Jesus, we're not to be to say, well, I better never say anything because they might reject it. We know some are going to reject it. It's never a reason to go in insensitively or inappropriately or to try and distract people from doing the real job they're actually being paid to do. But the opportunity to speak of Christ, when it arises, we need to be bold enough to take it, even though we know that some people will refuse it and reject it, because Jesus has said that is exactly what is going to happen to these 70 as they go out in his name to the places where he's about to come. And then we have the command that's there in verse 7 of chapter 10, remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move from house to house. And again, lots of ink has been spilled by the commentators on what this means. But it basically means that the disciple the kingdom carrier, the Christian sent by the Lord Jesus, is not there for his own material comfort. Just imagine for a moment that this is they go to a village and they're immensely well received. Initially, one family, quite a poor family, say, yes, we want to believe and come and stay with us. We'd be honoured if you'd come and stay. And then they're there for a week or two and they're speaking and lots of people get excited and say, yeah, we really want to follow this news. We want to go forward in our relationship with the king. That's really exciting. And some who are considerably better off than the first family will say to the missionaries who've come, to the Christians who've come, come and stay with us. We've got a spare room and a shower, and you know, you can have a whole. So our granny annex, granny died, and now we've got this granny annex, and you'd be much more comfortable there. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, remain in the same house. We're not to get I'd be so much better off. I'd be much more comfortable. Yes, you would, materially. But that's not the key consideration. The understanding is that the first hosts are precious. A sort of slighting of them to say that your food, your home, your what you offered when you were the only ones who were offering in the first place, and now it's not good enough for me. Can you see immediately how that's going to raise tensions and divisions? Once the Christians move on and there's the beginnings of the church behind, then the family who first welcomed are going to feel sort of slighted. It's very much dealing in a worldly way rather than in a kingdom way. It's so easy for us to adopt worldly ways of thinking, when all the time, actually, as Christian people, we're kingdom carriers because we're part of that new kingdom, the kingdom of God that Jesus is introducing and wanting to develop. So we need to continue to say, actually, the important thing is the message that I'm bringing and not the material circumstances that I'm in. I'm not in this business in order to be more comfortable. It's not saying be miserable deliberately. It's just saying the first God who welcomed you, they are precious. Don't start moving from one to another because that would make you feel more comfortable. The implications for others are important. Now, what's interesting is that if we look at this passage, and I've said on a number of occasions that over this summer season, what I've decided that we'll do for preaching is that we're taking the set reading that the Anglicans and across the world have been people who have put together what they call a lectionary. It's just set readings for the main services for every day and particularly for every Sunday. And part of those set readings are the gospel readings. And we decided that we would just teach our way through the gospel readings. And the compilers of that lectionary for today, they read up to verse 11, yet know that the kingdom of God has come near. And then they don't include 12 right through to 15. And then they pick up again at verse 16. And you look at it and think, well, why did they drop out that I tell you on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town? And then woe to you, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Tyre and Sidon, and so on. I think it's because those verses are actually uncomfortable. And what I want to say as a sort of heading about that is that the choice that the hearers make has eternal consequences. If you look at verse 11, you've got this symbolic action of wiping the dust off their feet. Now, it can't mean anything in a sort of physical sense, but actually what they're saying is, you have rejected the message that I'm bringing. You have rejected the Lord Jesus. And I'm not even going to carry the very dust of your town on my shoes as I move on from you. I'm leaving it all behind. I'm not taking the slightest part of you with me because you have rejected me. In other words, there is a real separation because they've rejected Jesus in rejecting the message that the kingdom carrier is bringing in. It's a strong warning, done out as a sort of symbolic action. But it's also a strong warning in this passage about what Jesus is saying, that it really matters whether someone makes a decision to receive Christ or a decision to reject Christ. They had, Capernaum and these other towns where Jesus had gone, they had seen signs and wonders. Amazing things. You can read about them in earlier passages of Luke. People being healed, people being raised from the dead, extraordinary teaching, feeding of 5,000 people, storms being stilled, all sorts of things that Jesus had done. And they're still saying no. Most people in Capernaum, seemingly, said no. And apparently from the way that passage goes, verse 13 and 14, Chorazin, Bethsaida, they're still saying no. And what Jesus is saying is that it's going to be better on Judgment Day, and there really will be a Judgment Day, that's clearly part of the teaching. On Judgment Day, it's going to be better for Sodom. Now, Sodom is held up right the way through the Old Testament as being an example of a town that was so sinful in its rebellion against God and in the way that it lived and the way that it treated other people, that God destroyed it. It's an understanding that if people persist in refusing God and refusing his ways, judgment will come and the result will be separation. God is able to judge, and though he doesn't want anybody to die, he wants everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth and to be saved. Nonetheless, if people persist in refusing God, there will be consequences. It's the same sort of idea as we were thinking of last week, that you need to hear the message while you're still alive, because after you've died, it's too late. It is really serious whether someone receives the message or rejects the message. Now, of course, it's possible for people to think that someone's a hellfire preacher and we can dangle them over the pit and we can frighten them into the kingdom and stuff. And that's not what Jesus is doing. But he's just saying that if somebody persists, when the message of Christ, when the kingdom has come near in the person of the kingdom carrier, speaking of Jesus, pointing to the king who is coming, if someone persists in saying, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that, I'm going to reject it, then actually they're going to appear before God on Judgment Day carrying their own sin. And the consequence of that is that we will be separated. And more importantly, for the purpose of talking to people who are Christians today, the ones for whom you are kingdom carriers, the people in your networks that I talked about before, the work colleagues, the friends in the pub, the club members, whatever. If they reject the message of Jesus, then what this passage is saying is that there are eternal consequences. It will be better for Sodom, for Tyre and Sidon, than for the people who rejected the message of the 70. Hell is a dreadful and terrible reality. We need to believe that because it adds fervour to our prayers and persistence to our proclamation. If we don't believe, it doesn't really matter whether someone becomes a Christian or not, well, then we won't be concerned. We won't really pray. We won't really be looking to God to help us to find opportunities to be able to speak and the right words in order to speak out about the Lord Jesus. But if we recognize that actually it's something that is going to provide really significant, it's going to have eternity-changing consequences, then we will begin to say, this is something that we really must be involved in. And so if we look on to verse 16, which is where the lectionary reading picks up again, whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. What we're saying, therefore, is that it sounds as though this is no longer working. Can you? Okay. What we're saying is that kingdom carriers, people who go in Jesus' name, all of us as we go out into the world, Kingdom carriers carry Jesus. When we speak the gospel, we're speaking Jesus' words. When we pray for the sick, when we're watching Jesus heal, we are doing the work of Jesus. We're bringing the kingdom into the place where we are, because that's who we are. We are kingdom carriers. And in us, the kingdom of God is coming near to those to whom we are speaking. And therefore, just understanding that if people say no, they're not just rejecting us, painful though that is. They're rejecting Jesus, and they're rejecting the Father who sent Jesus. But if we come on to verse 17, and that final paragraph, verses 17 to 20, you'll see that the 70 returning with joy. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to see how excited they clearly are. They're absolutely thrilled. They've gone away, and they've gone to all these various towns, and they've spoken about Jesus, and they've prayed, and people have been healed, and demons have been cast out, people have been delivered. There have been all sorts of things, and they're coming back absolutely buzzing with excitement. And that is a great thing, and it's important to see the joy and excitement of being Christian people who are working in the power of the Spirit with the authority that we have over the enemy, all sorts of things that we are to... sorry, John, this one's dying too. Have we got any more batteries? Okay. So we see something of the real excitement and enthusiasm that these disciples have. They come back and they're clearly sort of bouncing about how excited it is that they have done this. And Jesus, in a sense, shares with that excitement. Look at verse 18. I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. And he just then, it's important that we pick up and recognize his words that he's then saying. The first word that he gives is to know the authority. Look at verse 19. I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. What is being said is that in the spiritual realm, we have authority in Christ, and we need to believe that when we know who we are in Christ, and we can therefore face the demonic and deal with it. Now, we need to be serious and cautious and appropriate, because the enemy is powerful. Thank you very much. Because the enemy is powerful, we need to understand, not underestimate him, and not underestimate his power. But we absolutely need to know the authority that has been given to kingdom carriers in Christ. That is the first thing that the Lord Jesus reminds people of. But then his second point is that people should know what is most important. Look at verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the Spirit submit to you. It's terrifically exciting. But the main thing about which they're to rejoice are that your names are written in heaven. So it's a matter of knowing what is most important. And we need to be at the core of that. We are kingdom carriers because we are people who have heard the gospel, who've heard the message of Jesus, who've heard that sins can be forgiven, who've heard of the power of the blood of Christ. And we have responded to that. We automatically become kingdom carriers into whatever networks we are. And we can see God using us, and those are things that are terrific. But actually, the most important thing in our lives is that we have ourselves responded. We have ourselves said, yes, please, I want to turn to Jesus and be forgiven for myself. And so that is the thing that Jesus is saying. That's the thing that we really need to be rejoicing over, the thing that we really need to be excited about. And that continues to be the message. And so I guess that there will be people here today who may have never prayed a prayer of commitment to Christ, or just feel that they're not clear about that. That's something that you want to have the opportunity of doing. Come and talk to me after the service, and we can certainly do that. I'll be at the door, because that is the most important thing. But this understanding that as disciples we are called to go in Jesus' name, and we are going not sort of as nice mice, We're going as kingdom carriers, bringing this message of salvation. It is enormously important that people should hear it. Many will refuse. And that will be painful for us, but actually more painful for them, because the refusal has an eternal consequence. But we're also going with authority to heal the sick, authority to deal with demons and other things that are coming against us. And we need to be learning more about how to do that in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we do thank you so much for this passage and for the way that the Lord Jesus, on his journey to Jerusalem, commissioned 70 people to go on ahead to give people foreknowledge that the King was coming. And Father, thank you that in the same sort of way, we who recognize the King can point others towards him and say, Jesus is indeed King. He's died for our sins, he's risen from the dead, he reigns on high, and he will return. And people need to hear that message. So, Father, we're really praying that you would help us to be those who are willing to go as kingdom carriers, willing to go and help others to become Christians, willing to go as those who know who we are in Christ, who know the authority that we have in the spiritual realm, and are willing to stand in that and use it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.